You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the west coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the east. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It's Wednesday, September 26, 2018. Day number 615 in the fight to take back our constitutional republic. We are in the battle for the soul of our nation. Let's not make it any less than that. We are seeing what's taking place on Capitol Hill. We're seeing the Democratic Socialists shred the dignity of not just a man, shred the dignity of our constitutional republic, of our society. It is mind-numbing. And if you're out there thinking, I can't take any more of this, I can't hear any more of this, I don't want to listen to any more of this, I'm there with you. Frankly, I don't feel like talking anymore about this. I just wonder, openly wonder, at what point is the talk going to move to action? Now, this is not, please, the usual disclaimers apply. Of course, I'm not advocating any type of violence. Understand that. I'm asking intellectually a question. At what point will the constitutionalists, will the people who care about the heart and the soul of our nation and the future of our children and their children, at what point will we say enough? We've had enough. Have we reached that point? I think we have. And I think we not only have, but I think we are going to see some things take place over the next several days, several weeks, and for the rest of the year that's going to show that there are men and women with spines, that we can only take so much. We will only take so much. It's coming. Well, it's here. I just want to say, ahead of the program, I want to thank all of you, the listeners out there, for making my comeback an enormous success. I received the numbers from the preliminary numbers from Monday and yesterday on the Doug Hagmann Radio Show. And they have just exploded. I mean, the numbers are just in. I had a double check. I thought maybe a comma was misplaced. Thank you so much for everything that you do. Thanks for listening. Thank you for spreading the word about the Doug Hagmann Radio Show. Hashtag DHRS. I'm not even sure if that's a thing. If we can make it one, let's do it. But thank you for sharing this on your social networking. And please keep doing it. We need to get the word out there that there are people who are fighting for your rights, for the rights of middle America, well, of America, period. Because it is the Americans who work every day, get up at the crack of dawn and bale hay and take care of the crops and the livestock and the truck drivers and the workers, people who work for a living. And I don't care if you throw a newspaper onto a porch or if you, it doesn't matter. You are keeping this country going, and thank you for what you do. Thank you. And I want to thank specifically, of course, the regular listeners and emailers. Hey, Kevin, thanks so much for that image that you sent. Can I use that? Is it okay? All right. A lot of things to get into, of course, today. Again, the news. Let's start off with the obvious. Obviously, what's really embraced the headlines and the news, done something that few stories can do lately, and that's the nomination process for Judge Kavanaugh. What's the latest? Because in this, just wait a few minutes, things will change. It's like the weather. If you don't like the weather, you know, don't like the weather, hang around for a few hours. It'll change. Well, it's the same with the news on Judge Kavanaugh, Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Looks like there will be a vote, preliminary vote Friday, perhaps, procedural vote, perhaps Saturday, and then Monday, a full vote, perhaps. Again, it's a pretty ambitious schedule. It appears that, and I'll stick with my thoughts, that Christine Ford, the accuser, the one accuser, she may be in Washington, but I don't think she's going to testify. Ramirez, the second accuser, already, I believe, bowed out. Of course, all of this is subject to change. But having said that, by the way, have you driven a Ford lately? Oh, I know. I just saw that comment somewhere, and I just thought that that was rather unique. You know, there's some pretty creative people out there. And by the way, that was not meant to demean or anything like that. It was, in this whole process, we've lost our sense of humor. We've lost, we've lost a lot. And by the way, I do agree. There are some things you just don't joke about. I certainly agree with that. But the bottom line is this. We are in the fight of our lives right now, a fight for the soul of our nation, of our constitutional republic. We are witnessing, as I said yesterday and said every show here this week, that this, what we're watching right now is the collective efforts of the deep state, the globalists, the elitists, those who embrace the democratic socialist agenda, the communism, those who embrace the communism, this communist utopia, this collectivism. We're watching them attempt to regain and maintain power. Something Tom Tancredo said, in fact, there was a 2 minute or under 2 minute audio clip. Well, I think it's on YouTube, and I believe it's on Hagman Report Twitter feed. And by the way, if you don't follow Hagman Report on Twitter, please do. Hagman Report on Facebook, please do. Until you can't anymore. The same thing for my personal accounts. It's Doug Hagman on Facebook, or Douglas.Hagman on Facebook. And I think it's Hagman PI on Twitter. So please follow and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Again, while you still can. One place that you can follow, and I urge you to do so, please do this, on Blog Talk Radio. That's the platform that archives this program. Please click the follow button there for the Doug Hagman Radio Show. And you can get to all of these through HagmanReport.com. And we've got more coming to you, by the way. We've got more easier interfaces and such coming to you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for standing by us. Thank you for everything that you do. You are the reason that Lady and I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and Lady looks at me and says, "Hey, you know, I'm going to the studio again, right?" And it was raining this morning, and it was funny. It's funny. She's putting on a little weight, so she's having trouble getting into the truck. You know, a little bit of trouble getting into the truck, and she's getting mad at herself, and when she can't jump right in there. So I've got to have a workout regimen with Lady the Studio Dog, but she's here with me, and together we're taking on the world together, her and I, and all of you. So again, thank you for inviting me into your homes, your cars, your businesses, and thanks for spreading the word for this program. I didn't mean to get off track there, but what's the latest on the Kavanaugh hearing? The most fit, or the best sound or audio clip that I found was from Fox News from last night. It's 3 minutes in length. I know, again, the rule of thumb, you shouldn't have anything over 45 seconds or really 30 seconds in talk radio, or else people get confused, but we have an exceptional audience here. So here is the latest. This from yesterday evening. I believe this to remain true on everything I looked at overnight. Here is the status. Again, this would be the up-to-date status report as of 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific time today about the status of the Supreme Court Kavanaugh hearings. Now, I'm going to play this, but I also want you to just listen to me here too, because I've got a couple of other audio clips that are going to blow your mind. I guarantee you, you're going to say, wow, where'd you come up with that? Where'd you find that? Very interesting. So I ask that you listen to this program all the way through, because I'm going to be touching on a lot of issues that are going to be very relevant to the week that is here now, and things that will affect us not just this week and next week or through the midterms, but for the rest, really, of our lives. I believe we're witnessing hinge moments in time, events that will change, forever change our nation. In a good way, but in a very decisive way as well. But let's start off with the 3-minute summary by Fox News. I think it was Ed Henry who did this. I'm not certain, but it's 3 minutes. It's a summary as to where we're at. Have a listen to this, and we'll move forward after that. This is the summary. Go ahead and roll clip one.
There's a lot breaking just in the last few moments. Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein telling us that she cannot guarantee that Dr. Ford will even be at Thursday's hearing to testify, saying she has, quote, no way of knowing for sure. In the last few moments as well, an attorney for the second accuser, Deborah Ramirez, just revealed she is not going to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee. There was an idea that she might. And as you noted, Republicans are announcing that they may vote in the committee, in the Judiciary Committee, as early as Friday, a suggestion that they are moving forward with this process and that they are feeling confident that maybe they will have the votes to confirm Brett Kavanaugh to the high court. Ford's legal team, the reason why they may not show up on Thursday, they're saying they do not think she will get a, quote, fair and respectful treatment because of Republican Mitch McConnell saying in a speech yesterday that her allegation is part of a, quote, unquote, smear campaign. Democrat Chuck Schumer today demanded McConnell apologize for, in Schumer's words, politicizing the Supreme Court nomination process, something that others believe has already been politicized. Now, a sticking point for the legal team was revealed in a letter to the Judiciary Committee, where they object to Republicans hiring a special lawyer for Thursday's hearing, writing, this is inconsistent with, quote, Dr. Blasey Ford's repeated requests through counsel that senators conduct the questioning. This is not a criminal trial for which the involvement of an experienced sex crimes prosecutor would be appropriate. Republicans say they want an experienced prosecutor who shows sensitivity to a potential victim of sexual misconduct in a matter like this, and they suspect that Democrats want the appearance of having the 11 Republican men on the committee pepper Dr. Ford with a whole series of questions and potentially look like they are bullying her just 6 weeks before the midterms. Watch.
We have an outside person coming in, and I think that's an appropriate way to do it, so that you don't, the witness should not be uncomfortable.
Who is going to speak for all of the 11 Republican senators? We don't have the name, do we?
Very interesting that our Republican colleagues who want to rush this through are afraid to question Dr. Ford themselves.
Also new tonight, Senate Judiciary staffers conducted a phone interview with Kavanaugh today where he denied an allegation from that second woman I mentioned who charged to the New Yorker that he exposed himself to her at Yale. The New York Times has said it investigated that charge by the second accuser, Deborah Ramirez, but could not corroborate it after interviewing several dozen people in the past week. Her lawyer says tonight the committee has refused to meet scheduled appointments to hear her story and that they think a better venue is to try and get the FBI to look at her accusation. That is unlikely to happen. A key Republican swing vote, Lisa Murkowski, said earlier she was open to Ramirez getting a chance to testify, but interesting that she added she does not want to see, quote unquote, further delay. And Republican Richard Burr said immediately following Thursday's hearing, the judiciary panel should vote on the nomination. So the key there is while Democrats have been hoping to get more witnesses and delay this, drag this out longer, you're seeing tonight Republicans closing ranks and saying, no, we need to move forward as early as Friday with a committee vote. Then we're hearing about a procedural vote, maybe Saturday. And as early as Tuesday, a week from tonight, we may see a Senate floor vote on Kavanaugh, up or down.
Okay, so that's the updated timeline, or at least as it stands today, Wednesday, September 26th. Notice, of course, that there's going to be a push for the vote. And as I said yesterday, there are, in particular, three senators that are questionable in terms of how they'll vote. You've got Flake. Where are my notes here? You've got Jeff Flake, who's resigning in January. And of course, you've got, let me just double check here now. Hang on a second. You've got Susan Collins from Maine, and you've got Murkowski from Alaska. So those are kind of three Republican senators who are questionable in terms of how they'll vote. By the way, my wife is listening to this broadcast, and I just got a little message here from her, and she said, you better explain about that that Ford comment. Have you driven Ford lately? I was thinking more in terms of a vehicle, a Democratic operative, you know, being used as a vehicle to accomplish an objective, to travel from point A to point B. There was no, so anyone who took that comment elsewise, my goodness, no. So I understand how that could happen. So my apologies if people have went there. It was not my intent. It was talking. I meant to explain it, or I meant to refer to that as a vehicle to accomplish an objectives from the Democratic platform. So just to clear that up, just in case. So don't send me email saying, you know, this is a family show. Of course it is, but it's, boy, some people, you know, their minds can actually go in that direction, and that's not the direction it intended. So, all right. But there you have it. Basically the agenda as we see it, the timetable as we see it. Now, there are going to be a few things that will happen, I believe, based on, again, watching the messages from the left, from the Democratic Socialists, these gatherings. They are very, very well organized. So you are going to see an uptick, I believe, in violent rhetoric coming from the left. And as I mentioned, we need to identify where this is coming from. We know, of course, the big names, the Soros, and obviously. But on the ground, where the foot soldiers are fighting against the conservatives, we need to understand who the players are. And they're closer to you than you may believe. Now, I went over this yesterday, so I'm not going to rehash the old content, except to say, just watch these various groups that I mentioned yesterday, and understand, too, the leadership of these groups can be traced, I believe, based on everything I've looked at and researched and investigated. And you go down a lot of rabbit trails, by the way. But I believe when you look at this, it is the Barack Hussein Obama community organizing efforts at work here. That's where a lot of this is coming from. And these are people who are allied, very close to Obama. Now, remember 5 years ago, I spoke about the warriors for Obama, the cyber warriors. That was just the beginning. And using the internet as the tool, as the vehicle to coordinate these efforts against the conservatives. We saw this with Ted Cruz the other day and his wife in a restaurant, and we're seeing this now. They are working together to protest violently, perhaps, depending upon how things go. And if you notice from that sound, that audio clip, you've got Dick Durbin saying, well, you know, what about the senators questioning, you know, where's our voice in this? But if they didn't appoint someone, a female, to question Ford, who most likely will not even be there in chambers, then, of course, depiction, the visual picture that you would have would be these old white guys ganging up on an alleged sexual victim. This is what they so want, and it's the unfairness of it all. But let me surprise you with this. Let me take you back. There are two things that this has reminded me. Remember the Clarence Thomas hearings, his nomination hearings. And remember, oh my goodness, remember, this is a gem. Remember Joseph Biden. That's right, former vice president under Obama, Joe Biden, back in 1991. During the Clarence Thomas confirmation hearings, as a matter of fact, it was October 11th, 1991. How many years ago was that? It's almost, 27 years ago to the day. My, how things don't change. But there are two additional audio segments I want to play for you. One is a very short, and it addresses the FBI's role in questioning witnesses and in conducting the background investigations. And just for complete transparency and for just so you know, all right, my personal experience with the FBI and the Department of Justice, when I was working as an operational asset for the FBI, and I'm just sharing my experiences so you know, to kind of give you some insight here, all right, from my personal experience. And this goes back to the 1990s. So working as an operational asset for the FBI, what they do is they conduct a background investigation. They don't conduct a criminal investigation. They conduct a background investigation. They're two separate animals here. And the guy that really lays this out is Dan Bongino. But just from my personal experience, so working for or being an asset for the FBI or Department of Justice at that time, the FBI, I agreed to a background investigation by the FBI. And again, they look, for example, for criminal records history. And then they get into your character and integrity, and they provide the information. They compile a folder, basically. And that's it. It's not a criminal investigation, unless, of course, you're President Donald Trump or candidate or private citizen Donald Trump. Then it becomes no, this is a background investigation. So two distinctly different issues. Speaking to this, of all the people in the world, 27 years ago, October 11th, 1991, is none other than Joe Biden. Have a listen to what he says, and listen carefully because it applies today. But, oh, you won't hear this necessarily in the corporate media. Go ahead and roll clip two.
And the last thing I'll point out. The next person that refers to an FBI report as being worth anything obviously doesn't understand anything. FBI explicitly does not, in this or any other case, reach a conclusion. Period. Period. So, Judge, there's no reason why you should know this. The reason why we cannot rely on the FBI report, you wouldn't like it if we did. Because it is inconclusive. They say he said, she said, and they said. Period. So when people wave an FBI report before you, understand, they do not reach conclusions. They do not make, as my friend points out more adequate, they do not make recommendations.
That was then Senator Joe Biden back October 27th, 1991. The context, of course, the Clarence Thomas nomination. Did you hear what he said? The FBI report, the FBI background investigation. But now compare that to what's being said today. Compare that to the outcry by the Rachel Maddows of the world, by the uninformed political pundits across the network news. You'll never hear them refer to that. At least I don't think so. I haven't heard it. Isn't that interesting? So share this. Share this among your friends. Of course, they will. The Democratic friends or the leftist leaning members of your family. Hey, these aren't my words. These are the words of Joe Biden. Well, thoughts? Go ahead and discuss. You see the irony here? It's a sad irony. It really is. But again, Clarence Thomas, that was the in the context of the nomination and the confirmation hearings for Clarence Thomas 27 years ago. And here we are 27 years later. But the third and final audio clip, more importantly perhaps, are the words from Supreme Court at that time nominee Clarence Thomas after hearing the allegations, the abhorrent allegations against him. Now, Clarence Thomas, as you know, Supreme Court Justice, he's the man who sits there and says nothing, usually. That's his practice. You can't get him to say anything in the Supreme Court in the hearings. He's a guy who doesn't say anything. Okay, that's his, I don't know, that's his character or whatever you want to call it. That's his mode. He just sits there and takes it all in. But again, 27 years ago, almost to the day, the Clarence Thomas nomination process, when asked by Joe Biden, I believe it was Joe Biden, when asked, do you have anything to say, Judge Thomas? Listen to what he said. Now, this is about 3 minutes, but in my view, every word is important and every word is applicable to what is taking place today. You're talking about a quarter of a century ago. And I know you're saying, all right, play it already. Well, I will. But again, the emphasis is on a quarter of a century ago. Here it is, Clarence Thomas. Play clip 3.
Committee will please come to order. Judge, it's a tough day and tough night for you, I know. Let me ask, do you have anything you'd like to say before we begin? I understand that your preference is, which is totally and completely understandable, that we go 1 hour tonight, 30 minutes on each side. Am I correct in that?
That's right.
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Senator, I would like to start by saying unequivocally, uncategorically, that I deny each and every single allegation against me today that suggested in any way that I had conversations of a sexual nature or about pornographic material with Anita Hill, that I ever attempted to date her, that I ever had any personal sexual interest in her, or that I in any way ever harassed her. A second, and I think more important point, I think that this today is a travesty. I think that it is disgusting. I think that this hearing should never occur in America. This is a case in which this sleaze, this dirt, was searched for by staffers of members of this committee, was then leaked to the media, and this committee and this body validated it and displayed it at prime time over our entire nation. How would any member on this committee, any person in this room, or any person in this country would like sleaze said about him or her in this fashion, or this dirt dredged up in this gossip and these lies displayed in this manner. How would any person like it? The Supreme Court is not worth it. No job is worth it. I'm not here for that. I'm here for my name, my family, my life, and my integrity. I think something is dreadfully wrong with this country when any person in this free country would be subjected to this. This is not a closed room. There was an FBI investigation. This is not an opportunity to talk about difficult matters privately or in a closed environment. This is a circus. It's a national disgrace. And from my standpoint, as a black American, as far as I'm concerned, it is a high-tech lynching for uppity blacks who in any way deign to think for themselves, to do for themselves, to have different ideas. And it is a message that unless you kowtow to an old order, this is what will happen to you. You will be lynched, destroyed, caricatured by a committee of the U.S. Senate rather than hung from a tree.
That was Clarence Thomas, again, from 27 years ago. Man, those are some powerful words, won't you say? I mean, wouldn't you say? It's a powerful assessment of the process, the smear campaign against that man. Look what's happening. Look what's happening to Judge Kavanaugh. The smear campaign. And look at people like the creepy porn lawyer, Evan Eddy, who is attempting to grasp his moments of fame. Look at what they're doing. You know, it's the double standards, the irony of all of this. It's not funny. It's sad. It really is. So you've heard, there you've heard of, obviously, the first audio segment was the summary of where we're at today with the Kavanaugh nomination. The second, of course, was that oh-so-precious clip from Biden about the FBI, the role, the status of the FBI, and then the third, the more poignant of them all, are the words of Clarence Thomas. And I'm anxiously awaiting, by the way, for Judge Kavanaugh's statement in this process. But having said all of that, this, as I have said this week, each day this week, this is more than Brett Kavanaugh the man. This is really not about Brett Kavanaugh. And when you pull the lens back, as I always like to do, to take a look at what's really happening, what's really taking place right now, to understand it in the larger context, the larger historical context. What are we seeing play out? We're seeing a battle. This is but one battlefield, albeit a very important battlefield, because this will define the complexion of the Supreme Court more than likely. Of course, we don't know with any degree of certainty, except based on historical record and account of how Judge Kavanaugh will vote. But we do expect him to be adherent to the Constitution. There, we've had some surprises in the past. But what this is about wresting control of the direction of our nation. It's about putting our nation back on track of a constitutional republic. In the fight by those who don't want to see that happen. They want to turn this country into a Venezuela. They want to turn this country into a communist utopia. And I know you're tired of hearing me say this, but that's the bigger picture here. It doesn't matter. Brett Kavanaugh just happens to be the very fortunate man, depending on how you look at things, who is in that seat today. They've had, look at the tactics from 27 years ago. The same tactics from a quarter of a century ago. This time, they just doubled down. The same players, even. You have their playbook. That's their playbook. And if for any reason whatsoever, Judge Kavanaugh does not make it to the Supreme Court, I can guarantee you the globalist elitist, the component that you're seeing right now attempting to take Judge Kavanaugh down and this republic down, they will double down. They will fight more intensely against the next nominee if they are permitted to prevail. And by the way, the only way they will prevail is if they are allowed to prevail. This will be a mandate. What happens, the actions of the Senate, the Republican, in this case, we have to identify Republican and Democrat, but the Republican senators, this will impact the 2018 midterm elections in a big way. If they screw this up, goodbye 2018 elections, in my personal opinion. But even more importantly, if they screw this up, watch out, because the wrath of the conservatives, it's about ready to break. Now, what's the other side of this? Let's assume for a moment, presume that Judge Kavanaugh, the nomination process is successful. He gains his seat on the Supreme Court. What will be the reaction by the left? All we have to do is look at what the Democratic Socialists and what the globalist element is doing against President Donald Trump. In my view, that is going to happen to this nominee and this Supreme Court justice. There will be a forever and indelible stain on Judge Kavanaugh. Unfairly, as unfair as the... It's unfair. But that's the tactic. But also, gradually, as the leftist Democratic Socialists see their power slipping away and the ability to control their future via the Supreme Court, via the judicial system, they will in turn become even more desperate, and their actions will become even greater in terms of their violent rhetoric. Look at what we saw subsequent to the election of President Donald Trump. We saw a mass shooting, an assassination attempt on Representative Steve Scalise and others. They were the deliberate targets of a gunman acting using his ideological beliefs against a political party. I do say that this will happen again and again and again in this country. It may not take the same form, obviously, but the process, the tactics will be the same. Think about that. And think about how disconcerting this should be to each and every citizen of the United States. Now, if you are listening to this from another country, from the UK or Australia, and good afternoon and good evening to you folks, and thank you for tuning in. The impact will be the same or similar to you as well, because all of us in the West, we are all fighting for the same principles, the principles of freedom. So we're all in this together. It doesn't matter if you stand on UK soil or Australian soil or New Zealand. We've got listeners everywhere, or Europe. We are all fighting for the same principles, for the freedom, for our God-given rights. And by the way, the emphasis here is on God-given rights. These are not rights bestowed to us by man or upon us by man. These are rights bestowed to us by God Almighty, the God of the Bible. People tend to forget that. And I know early on, somebody had corrected me when I was talking about rights, our constitutional rights. They come from God. Our rights come from God. They're enumerated by the U.S. Constitution. They're enumerated by other documents, of course, wherever you might be at. But we have the God-given rights. And we must do everything in our power to protect those God-given rights. You know, yesterday, last night, on the Hagman Report, hour number 2, Jamie Walden, this guy has, I'm going to tell you, to talk with him outside, away from the microphones and to understand what he has done in his life, the firefights he was in the sandbox and the missions that he was on, and applying it to how we as conservative Christians operate today. It was a phenomenal interview. And a lot of times, look, I'm not a minister. I don't operate a ministry. Just to be clear, because there are people out there who write about me and this program and our flagship show and who are misinformed. Look, I'm not a ministry. I feel as a conservative Christian, I must be obedient to the Word of God and God's instructions, but I certainly am not a minister. I don't operate a ministry. And as I said yesterday, I'm barely hanging on as a Christian. I'm not a very good Christian. Are any of us, really? You know, can we measure up to the standards? And see, that's the other part of this too, is the Alinsky tactics, forcing your enemy to adhere to the standard. Look, study the, without getting into this, because that's a whole different subject, and I don't want to get too far off track. I'll suffice it to say this. All I'm trying to do is the best I possibly can. I'm a flawed human being, like we all are. But there are a few fundamental facts we have to understand. And as I mentioned earlier, there is the rights bestowed upon us by God. And it's our duty, I believe this. At least, maybe you don't, I do. It's our duty. It's our duties as Christians and as conservative Christians to protect those rights and to fight for those rights. And that's what I'm doing here. That's what Lady and I are doing here right now today. And that's what you're doing too. I'd like to believe that. And I think that's a good, safe bet. So anyway, that gives you the update on Judge Brett Kavanaugh. But the important takeaway here is to understand what is taking place in the larger sense, that this is a fight for the battle, and this is a battle for the soul of our nation and for the direction of our country, because we are at a hinge moment in time. And this week, as I said earlier, we are fixing for a huge fight. We're fixing for a fight. We're fixing for some violence, some violent rhetoric. We've already seen it. But watch the explosion. Either way, watch for it. It's coming. And it's going to be by the left. And it's going to be against the Christian conservatives. We're seeing it, and we're seeing it being set up. And watch, and again, I'll say that I don't believe that Ford is going to testify. She may be present, but at the last moment, you know, she's going to be, not that. Now, I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, so be it. I'm wrong. But just based on everything, you know, how can she possibly testify? And Ramirez, the second accuser, declining to testify, apparently, based on what we just heard. And the other Avenatti thing, I believe he was basically punked by some open source information. That's what I believe. So he's kind of he's not even worthy of discussion at this point. So that's where we stand with that.
Okay. In the final portion of this episode today, I want to tie some other things together that are happening. The focus, of course, of my program, of the episodes of this week, has been showcasing the activities of the Democratic Socialists of America, that group consisting of many branches to that group under the umbrella of Barack Hussein Obama. Now think back to 2013, 14, 15, and onwards. The plants inside the government, the federal government, include at this point as well members of the IRS. The Internal Revenue Service continues to be weaponized against conservative groups. Now, you might say, okay, what does this have to do? Where's the continuity here of this episode? Well, the continuity exists because the battle is a multifaceted battle that we're fighting. And we're fighting on, different fronts. We, for example, the Hagman Report and other groups like our organization are being victimized constantly, as are other conservative groups, by various members of the federal government, the Obama holdovers. Why? To disrupt and to distract and to divert our attention from bringing you the truth about various issues. We talked about Kavanaugh, we talked about Rosenstein yesterday, and other assorted issues. Okay. Released yesterday, Project Veritas filed a complaint with the Department of Justice. And this is why, for example, Rosenstein, the speed bump, the wall, the block within the Department of Justice, why this is so important that we have an active Department of Justice, because right now we're not seeing justice. So this final segment of this program, hopefully I've got enough time to play 5 minutes of the Project Veritas. And this comes, and I'll put it in the show notes. This comes right from Project Veritas. And you can, I'll put their page and you can see the entire video. It's worthy of your time. This is what is still going on in the IRS. So understand that when you've got the foot soldiers out there against Kavanaugh. You got the foot soldiers out there running our leaders out of restaurants. You've got this great organization. When I say great, I'm talking about massive, not great as in stature, but this massive and very well orchestrated organization that is working against the American people, against the Constitutional Republic. How bad? Very bad. And they make no bones about saying that they are anti-Constitution. So the reason I'm bringing this part forth, again, for the continuity of this episode, is to provide evidence that perhaps you might not otherwise see or obtain of individuals within our government working together with the groups that you see on television and on the various videos. But this is undercover video taken by Project Veritas of what's going on inside the IRS today. It's important to understand the all of the facets of the battle. So I'm going to bring this together, and I want you to hear this audio segment of a video report by Project Veritas. And again, the link to the video will be in the program description box. Go there and watch the entire Project Veritas video. This is just a segment of it. But listen to the hubris, and also listen to the admissions, and understand, again, in the context of the fight, how big this battle is. And believe me, how incisive it is. Because if you are on the receiving end of IRS harassment, the weaponized system of the IRS, you're going to be, your resources, your attention, your time will be diverted. The expense is enormous just to fight in this
on this battlefront alone. Go ahead and roll the final clip here. Once more, this is from Project Veritas. This is about the IRS now. We've covered the Kavanaugh issue. We've touched on the Rosenstein issue. The Rosenstein is the blocking for this complaint filed with the Department of Justice yesterday. This is the essence of the complaint. When you look at the entire battlefield here, or the entire war, the separate battlefields, this is one that's not getting a lot of attention, but it's necessary to include for continuity to show you that, man, we are at war. And if this doesn't prove it, if this does not lay the groundwork, I don't know what will. Go ahead and roll the final clip. This is about 4.5 minutes, 5 minutes, I believe. Here it is.
I know what you're thinking. Project Veritas hasn't secretly recorded IRS officials, have they? Oh, yes, we have. Because several years ago, IRS officials got in trouble for violating the privacy rights of U.S. citizens and targeting conservative organizations and conservative individuals. And then, without missing a beat, fought transparency of that bias scandal by putting the culprits, Lois Lerner and Holly Pack's depositions under seal. The IRS indeed has fought for privacy for itself while simultaneously demanding for more disclosure from citizens, violating those citizens' constitutional rights. There is much at stake for tax-exempt groups and their contributors. If the IRS didn't do anything wrong, why doesn't the IRS become open about what they did and why they did it? It is necessary for journalists to unmask bad actors in the IRS and put them on the record unbeknownst to them, shining a light on the bias that led to their crimes. Last week, our deep state releases led to the removal of 2 federal government employees. It should be interesting to see how the IRS deals with these 2 foot soldiers in this video, marching to the beat of insurrection.
Unfortunately, I'm not allowed by the bylaws of my union to go against the Constitution.
The Constitution of what?
America.
Would you?
Yeah.
I know, because it's like you're in such a interesting position.
Yeah. So they prevent us from doing anything interesting.
Thomas Sheehy is a tax examiner for the IRS, and he is also a proud member of the Democratic Socialists of America in Austin, Texas. He seems to be boasting about wanting to subvert the U.S. Constitution. His liberal bias is clear when he talks about the controversial former IRS commissioner, who the Washington Post called a liar, and House leaders wanted to impeach.
John Koskinen, he got a lot of flack for giving increased scrutiny to these Tea Party groups. And conservatives got really mad at him.
Yeah.
He was something cool, though, because he deleted all the emails, so they couldn't have any evidence against him.
That is, oh my god, high five for him. That's literally badass. And it's
Yeah, I don't give a shit if he did a
problem. So do you think, I think that was awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. He should give increased scrutiny to those groups, because a lot of them are just fronts for Koch brothers.
Our deep state investigation also led us to another IRS employee, and this fellow admits mistakes were made during the 2013 scandal when conservative nonprofits were targeted when applying for tax-exempt status.
There are a lot of coups. And you know what? For what it's worth on the record, I know people in tax-exempt government entities. All that stuff we saw in the news, yeah, mistakes were made, but the Republican House just blew it all out of proportion to make a news story. There were mistakes made.
What kind of mistakes?
Jerry Semisek is a 55-year-old attorney who has worked for the IRS for 12 years. He was working at the IRS when the scandal occurred.
Have you heard of Lois Lerner, that name?
It rings a bell.
She was singled out because the Republicans thought that she was the mastermind behind what, for the Democrats that was disfavoring the group. So to get to the point, the law requires that an organization can't be political, it can't be partisan to be tax exempt. So when they started to see these applications for, I forget what the phrase was in the title of the application, those employees in Cincinnati, Ohio, started to separate them and put them in a pile. And it turns out that they were like the Tea Party group people. And I think they did, you know, like Lois Lerner and maybe her, some of her employees, they were more liberal-leaning or Democrats. So I don't know if they disallowed them, but they required them to produce more documentation to prove, to try to prove that they weren't partisan. But anyway, from what people tell me, the problem with the conservative groups that were quote-unquote targeted, and that was bad. And I think from what people tell me that really know about it, there were mistakes made, but the problem with what happened, and again, there were mistakes made, and I think probably some people that were biased against conservative groups did make some mistakes.
Sheehy also repeats a familiar theme throughout our series on the deep state. If you work for the federal government, you don't have to work hard, and it's nearly impossible to be fired.
So there it was. That's from Project Veritas. Again, all credit goes to Project Veritas for this. But the reason I brought this forth to conclude today's episode is you've got this massive engagement, this massive battle, the driving ideology. Did you hear what they said? Going against the Constitution. These are Democrats. These are socialists. These are communists driven by the communist ideology. So you've got, if you work for the federal government and do that work to advance socialism, to advance communism on the taxpayer's dime, don't worry about it. You won't get fired. It's almost impossible for you to get fired. So in summary, look at the scope of what we are fighting. Look at the numerous facets of this battle and understand that there's a risk associated with you becoming engaged, but you've got to be willing to take that risk. And when I say there's a risk, of course, everything that Barack Hussein Obama touched during his tenure, during his regime, during his time in the Oval Office, and you talk about an illegitimate occupier of the Oval Office, I would say that he would be the king of illegitimacy. If you listen to previous programs, speaking with Sheriff Arpaio and Mike Zullo and others about who this man really was or is, he is behind these groups, whether it's Kavanaugh or whether it is the protests regardless of the protest, or whether it is the guidance to the denizens, the people of the deep state still inside our government. You needn't look any further than Barack Obama. Do not discount Obama and his influence today. The guidance of the protesters that we see at the Kavanaugh hearings, or when you file for a 501c3 and you are denied, or when you speak out against the deep state and you are audited, all of these are battlefronts. So the battle is not just on the streets, but it's also in the office buildings. I played that just so you could have an idea, not that you already didn't, but the scope of the battle, the numerous fronts. And I know you're tired of me saying this, but look at all of this. Oh, and the censorship part, the banning part, you can't really talk about this because you'll be banned. Folks, I hope this made sense. Let me know. Give me some feedback. Doug@HagmanReport.com. My email address is in there. And if you like what you heard, please tell others about this program. Let's make it go viral. We're in this together. And God bless each and every one of you. Have a great day. And make sure you give your dog a hug, kiss your wife, kiss your spouse, and God bless you.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report. Tune in to The Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.